The Old Testament reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning from verse 1 and ending on verse 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 14, beginning from verse 15 to 27. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ. Wonderful. Take a seat. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. Living and active, Lord, able to transform our lives. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit it would do so today. Come and anoint me, and anoint all our ears, that we may leave this place changed. Amen. Well, good morning. Lovely to see you. I think I'm all on. Am I all on? Yes, I am. Wonderful. Tremendous. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." How you doing? Spiritual life is quite difficult, isn't it? There's no great formula about how to do it right. It'd be great if we had a formula, wouldn't it? Just to sort of put the 50-cent piece in and turn the knob and that's us. We've done the obeying and we can get on with life. However, life's not like that. We are called to follow a person. And a person has characteristics that we need to learn. As you know, we've been doing the redemptive family study and I found that particularly challenging. It rubbed those little rough edges on me. and tried to just, the Lord was speaking to me about how we might relate better as a church with one another, and also for me to open my life up more to others as well. But don't we find in our spiritual lives that we tend to take one step forward, but all of a sudden we find that actually the ground is actually moving in the opposite direction, and we feel that we're further back than when we first started? Or do you find yourself in that dilemma where St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, I know what I ought to do, but I find myself doing the very thing that I shouldn't do. Oh, woe is me. But praise God that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For it's the Spirit of God who leads us into all righteousness. We are in a spiritual battle. Wherever you are, whatever time, whatever place you put yourself in, at any time of the week, there is an enemy whose sole job in your life is to ruin it. Isn't that charming? But we also know that we have an advocate, a counselor, one who draws alongside, whose sole aim is to transform you. Isn't that great? So there's a battle going on. The good news is, I know who wins. I hope you do. I hope you know who wins in the battle of your life. We realize that in our spiritual battle, that actually we've got very little to do with it. There's all sorts of things that are raging over our lives. But we are called into an activity or a position of cooperation. How do we cooperate with what God wants to do in our lives? We realize that we cannot live the spiritual life, the Christian life, in our own strength. I've tried. And I continue to try and continue to fail. Because actually, this is a spiritual activity, not a physical activity. And if it was just about the obeyance of laws, we'd sort of be all right. But Scripture says that we're never all right, because the law is perfect. That is why Christ died for us. And that's why Christ calls us to die to ourselves and to live in Him. And it's only as we press into the Spirit of God, we start to learn that leaning into Him, it's a series that we're entering into now, leaning into the Spirit of God, that we find God's provision, His presence, and His purposes for our lives. There are many that are lost in the world, who are without a present guide, that are without a purpose. It is the Spirit of God who wants to redeem our lives. Whichever decisions that we've made, God has the ability to redeem it and to turn it to His good. And He wants to turn us inside out and transform us into His likeness. And actually, it's not just His likeness. Jesus' job and the Spirit's job is to transform you and me into the best version that He has created us to be. That's His job. And that will shine Jesus. But He doesn't want you to walk around with a flowing robe and Jesus sandals and an unkempt beard, especially the women. What He would like for you to do is to be who you are called to be in Him. Jesus wants you and all of you. But the only way that we can do this is through His presence. I'm going to look at John's Gospel, but first, I want us to read this scripture together. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Can you see that there is a condition to find rest? The condition to find rest is to yoke ourselves to Jesus. How would you like it if I said, hey, if you want to succeed, come and learn from me because I'm really gentle and what's more, I'm really humble. Wouldn't quite work, would it? But actually, Jesus says, if you want to find rest, you're called to yoke yourself to him. A yoke is a device which you tie two animals together on the whole, one of them is more experienced than the other and is training that animal how to plow a field or whatever. That same yoke, I would say, is the same sort of relationship that an ideal parent has with a child, yoking the child, teaching the child how to live in the fear and love of the Lord Jesus. We're called to live a life not with adding Jesus on, but actually Jesus being very part of who we are. The spiritual life is the yoked life. It is not about knowing more, it's about knowing him. And the only way we can know him is if we're yoked to him, tied to him. Your life is no longer your own, neither is mine. You surrendered it to Jesus. And let me tell you today, if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, give up. Because a life with him is far better than a life without him. Surrender to Christ. He will lead you into paths of righteousness for his namesake. Relationship with God always comes with a cost. And that cost is being yoked to him. The Spirit is sent as the agent of yoking. He is the one by whom we know the presence of God. He is the one that we know that we're yoked to. Jesus speaking to us by his Spirit. Well, good morning, Fraser. Good morning, Lord. How are you this morning, Fraser? I'm fine, Lord. I won't ask you how you are because you're perfect. But how? Let's get going today, Lord. Yeah. That is all done by the Spirit of God. The Spirit's presence in our life, the yoked presence of God. And he calls us to lean into him. We're called to lean into the Spirit. You see this image here? It only works as you lean outwards in order to be grasped by the wind. You see, friends, you and I are called to live a life not in perfect balance, but off balance and into the Spirit. We're called to lean into him. The constant place where God is here to catch you and I. But the trouble is, we don't like that position. We like order. We like control. But the Spirit is the one who is wanting to take control. But we do that only by leaning into him. And part of this whole sense is that we're called to learn from Jesus. Read this with me. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. Now, if I said education to you, what would happen in your inner being? Let me tell you what happens in my inner being. I instantly think of detention, of the cane, and of failure to meet a standard which has been put to me that I feel that I can never attain. That is the language of the world's education in my life. I'm sure that the rest of you were duxes at your colleges and you were amazing. But I'm not a natural academic. I find it very, very difficult. And I come to it already crippling myself with a sense that I'm going to fail before I've even begun. And there are many people in life like that. But actually, the language of the Spirit when he comes to teach and guide us is one who is a counselor, one who is a guide, one who draws alongside to point out what is possible, not what we've done wrong. The Spirit guides us to live away from our natural inclinations of rejection, of independence, of apathy, of self-seeking and of rebellion. And the Spirit calls us to lean into partnership with him, to learn from him the commands of God. And the great thing about this is actually in Matthew 11, there's another great gift that God gives us with the opportunity of being yoked to him. And it comes in this, and I've only just sort of come to it, but I thought it was quite interesting. You may not, but that's okay. All things in Matthew 11, verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. And so the question I suppose we need to ask ourselves is, what is all things? What is all things? All things. Everything? Yes, when God tends to say all, I think he means all. So everything, even your jacket, JJ, has been committed to Jesus, even though it's really quite fetching on you. No one knows the Father except, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And those whom he chooses to reveal to him, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. With the gift of the yoke comes revelation. If you want to know who the Father is, you yoke yourself to God, and all things are revealed through Christ to us. The revelation of the things of the kingdom, the way that the kingdom works is not the way that the earth works, not the way that the rules of this world works. And so therefore, yoking ourselves to the work of the Spirit means that we see life completely differently. So, as we lean into God's Spirit, we learn, first of all, that he comes to resuscitate us. Friends, we live in an out-of-breath age. There are pressures in our life that are making people gasp. The pace of life, people are out of breath. The pain of life, people are gasping for the resuscitating breath of God, which you carry within you. And friends, if you are in pressure, in pain, can I encourage you, lean into God, because he will breathe life into your mortal bones. He will give you that which you need. When we allow him to fill us, we become alive to his visions and his goals and not just ours. We become less cynical and more positive when the Spirit of God is working in our lives. I find that I'm in constant need of resuscitation. We pray, as you know, we pray on a Thursday evening. And Sarah very kindly had to tell me off at one point because she said, we want to pray for you. And we had I call it a discussion, but actually probably it was an argument. Where I said, look, I don't want the attention brought on me. I want it all brought on God. She said, well, don't be silly. She said, unless you are blessed, the church will not properly be blessed. And so when I'm invited to be prayed for, I just jump in now because I want to be resuscitated by the Spirit of God. Because I need more of him. And I hope that each time there's an opportunity for you to be prayed for, you be prayed for as well. And for those of you who English is not your first language, I'll say that a bit slower. I hope that when you get an opportunity to be prayed for, you will allow yourself to be prayed for, to be resuscitated by the Spirit. Secondly, as we lean into God's Spirit, we also learn that he comes to empower us. Friends, can't is a powerful word that can be transformed by the Spirit of God. You see, we're all called to lean into him. There are things that you and I are called to do by God, in God, and for God that we cannot naturally do with our own natural talents. God calls us to lean into him. So when someone says to you, would you mind awfully if you could just, and you know that you can't just, think, is the Lord asking me to lean into him? I couldn't possibly lead a life group or open my home. But Lord, are you calling me to do this? I'll just lean into you. I'll lean into you. I couldn't possibly not work on a Sunday because the demands on my job are such. But you know, if you just lean into Jesus and say, Lord, you understand the priorities, and Lord, you understand my desire to worship you on a Sunday, will you change my situation? As you lean into him, the don'ts and the can'ts become a do and a can in him. We lean into God's Spirit. We also learn that he comes to direct us. We'll be looking about this over the next while as we look at this series on leaning into the Spirit, that God's desire is that he guides us on a daily basis, on an hour-by-hour basis. That means when you're at work. That means wherever you are. The Lord longs to lead and guide and direct you. So how do we lean? In leaning, we need to be off balance, as I said. I love this image. We had a little argument in the office about it. But I love it. Because often, we think about leaning into God as falling backwards. Oh, I'll just let go. But actually, leaning into God is an active thing that we choose to do. Leaning into him. You know, John, the beloved, rested his head on Jesus' chest. He had to lean to do that. Felt Jesus' breath upon his face. You and I are called to live a leaning life of intimacy with him. To learn to lean is the greatest thing that we can learn to do. It means that we choose to inhabit spirit-filling environments. Friends, there are many environments in our world. Some are spiritually neutral, neither here nor there. Some are spiritually positive. I hope this environment is spiritually positive for us. There are some that are spiritually draining, that will call upon your resources of God. And there are some environments that are actually spiritually polluting, that will actually erode you and me. But we're called to make daily choices about what environments we place ourselves in. Now, that doesn't mean creating a spiritual Christian enclave, but it does realize that we need filling in a positive manner before God. So, a little example for you about how's your quiet times going? I know I bang on about this, but actually, I'm sure that you're not the general statistic of the evangelical church in the world that only reads its Bible once a week, and that's on Sundays. That actually you're looking to spiritually invest in your life and creating an environment either in the morning or at night or in the middle of the day, whatever time works for you, to build you up, to fill you up. One of the habits that I've got into, and praise God I can do this, is I play worship music all day at my workstation. All day. Why? Because I know the sound of worship glorifies God and it builds up my inner self. Maybe on your commute in the car, instead of listening to 1ZB or whatever it is that you do, or endless talkback radio, you might listen to endless worship radio. Something that will fill you up for the day as you go into battle for the Lord. Choose spirit-filling environments. Learning spirit-leaning also means that we choose to practice spirit-filling exercises. Now, I spoke about regular Bible reading, but also there's many different spiritual exercises that we're called to engage in. And as we engage in these exercises, we find that our capacity increases. I went to the gym. I've been going back to the gym recently. Thank you very much for the wolf whistles. It's marvelous. And I got on a treadmill. I hated treadmills to begin with. I got off them and I felt all dizzy and everything like that. But I started on zero. and just sort of did. And I couldn't even run for a minute. And actually, Sarah's doing this as well. She's far better than I am. But actually, over the months and over the couple of years that I've been going on this treadmill, as well as other things, as I've been going on this, I find that my capacity for endurance has increased. I'm now on 3.5 incline. Extraordinary. And I run for 15 minutes, which is even more extraordinary. Never thought I could. But friends, in the same way that in our physical capacity can increase, and by the way, if you're a man and you're over the age of 30, please start doing some exercise. We want you around a little bit longer. And please, you owe it to us if you could just look after yourselves. And women, please, you owe it to us to look after yourselves. Please, could you do something about your physical fitness? It honors God how you look after your body. But in the same way, we're called to expand our capacity in God. There was a woman called Jackie Pullinger. She works in Hong Kong. And she learned to pray in tongues. And she said, right, I'm going to pray in tongues a minute a day. So she'd do it. And then she'd, right, I'm going to give myself a challenge. I'm going to pray now for 2 minutes a day. And then 3 minutes. And then 4 minutes. And what you find is your capacity for spirituality, your capacity for infilling of the Spirit comes as you exercise your capabilities in God. Not running just to what you think you can do, but to more in God. Do things that will build you up. Spirit leaning also means that we choose to have Spirit-filled expectations. How did you come today? How many arguments did you have on the way? I don't want to know. But did you wake up this morning and go, hey, I'm coming to worship Jesus today. I'm going to look forward to this. Lord, give me an expectation that I'm going to meet you today. Lord, I want to give you everything in worship. I'm going to pour myself out for you. Why? Because I expect to meet you. You see, the Holy Spirit comes as a guide, as a yoking agent, as one who comes close to us. But we are called to lean in. Friends, I see it in many services, even at this church. People are going through a tough time who choose not to lean in. We are called to overcome our natural apathy and to press in to Jesus. Overcoming that which we think we can't do, because the Spirit comes to guide. So friends, as we learn to lean into the Spirit, this isn't just a series, this is hopefully an equipping for a lifetime of learning to lean. Because friends, unless we lean, strangely, we will fall. Let's be yoked to Him. Shall we pray? Lord, we love you. Shall we stand? Let's lean in, shall we? Lean. Let's lean in. Lean, lean. Holy Spirit, come. Do you know the Lord wants to meet you today? He's leaning in to meet you. Lean into Him. Father, we come. We come, Lord, out of breath, needing you to resuscitate us. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we lean into you. Father, where there have been times, Lord, where we have stood on our own 2 feet and have chosen not to lean on you, Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us. come, Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to come and to teach us what it is to be more reliant on you. And Lord, as we go through this series, Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, with expectation that you will meet us, that you will transform us. And we will be changed by you. In Jesus' name.